The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do. Cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace.
Help. Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you don't believe at this stage, the Almighty has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? Important point to consider if you've never believed. I hope that you will listen to this program and at the end you will see that there are good reasons to believe. If you're a believer and you don't have much of a relationship with the Almighty has said, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven? Which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life. Again, please think about it. This series is about how to come to a deep personal relationship with our Almighty Father, our Creator. Tonight, we're continuing our discussion of seven components of drawing close to the Almighty Creator. We're continuing with component two, prayer, part four, and the final part on prayer. And in considering this, I just refer you back to what the Almighty has said to me regarding all of this. I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me. Father is lonely. It's a huge opportunity for you to reach out to him today and draw close to him. It's an overview of tonight's program. We're going to look at prayer. We'll talk a little bit about correcting doctrinal errors and associated curses. We'll talk about the Lord is a blasphemous name, God is a blasphemous name, and prayers to pray in correcting that. Jesus' correct name is Yeshua, how to correct that. Yeshua was only a human prophet and it's sin to worship him and make him equal to the Almighty. Again, pray to pray there. Christ refers to the anointed of the Spirit of Yah, not to Jesus, what to pray there. There are far more women than men amongst the body of true believers. Praying for a husband may be futile. Some other prayers you can pray there. What to do if you have excessive sex drive. We'll talk about the full armor of the Almighty. We'll talk about the mountain of the Almighty. We'll talk about bringing the Almighty joy. We'll talk about inviting him to be part of our lives in every possible sense. We'll talk about hearing him. And we'll talk about cutting off curses. We'll talk a little bit about other prayers. In all of this, we will talk about prayers that you can pray in the context of each of those points in order to clean up your life. Bit of introduction. Who am I? My name is Dr. James Robertson. I have a PhD in civil engineering, been a management consultant in the IT space at the strategic level for 25 years, and currently the chief operating officer of a group of small companies, and been serving the Almighty energetically for 26 years after he spoke to me audibly, as clearly as you can hear me now, in 1993, almost exactly 26 years ago. I realized then that my intellect and other people's teachings had got me into the mess I was in, and I committed to getting to know him after he spoke to me. And what I'm sharing with you tonight is the culmination of all of that learning. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle that I use for delivering my message. We host a number of websites, publish articles by email to various lists on a regular basis. We present this radio show, and hopefully within a month or two, there'll be a collection of physical books with a lot of my teachings. What is this program? Well, as the name suggests, it's about the fact that the Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. You can look at my website, www.endtimeissueministries.org, for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. Some questions from last week's program. Does everyone go to hell before heaven? Sadly, the answer to that right now is pretty much everybody is going to spend some time in hell before they get to heaven. It takes some strenuous cleaning up to make sure that you don't end up in hell, which is the place of correction, where you pay the price for your sin if you're a believer. Hell is irrelevant if you're an unbeliever. So this program and this session on seven components of drawing close is about what you need to do in order to get to a place that you don't end up in hell before you get to heaven. Next question. The prayer of one man will work for all men. Well, the prayers that I've given you so far will work for pretty much anybody. But as I've said before, you need to craft your own journey. You need to craft your own relationship. Each one of us is unique and individual. There is no recipe. I can give you a lot of guidance based on my own experience. But at the end of the day, you have to pick and choose from what I teach. Decide what will work with you. Get on your knees. Fast, pray, do whatever you need to do in order to get to a place where you're close to Father. And you may well go down a very different road to the one that I went down, and that's fine. You're unique. When do we learn to listen? Well, it's a progressive process. I found that because Father had spoken to me audibly, I always expected to hear from him. So I heard him from fairly early on, not constantly like I do now, but certainly intermittently, and I believe that's the case for everyone, that if you start making the effort to hear him, you will hear him. Just at the beginning, there's a lot of other noise, so it may take a while before you really show that you are hearing him. It took me quite a few years to get to a place where I could hear him really, really clearly, and that sort of comes and goes depending on how anointed I am, how close I am to him, how much else is going on in my life. How long does it take to change and learn? Well, it took me 8 years from the time he spoke to me in 1993 to the time that he called me a friend. But I was very much learning as I went, and I didn't really understand that being a friend was possible when I started. With all the information that I present in this program that's on the website, I believe it is possible for somebody who really goes for it to get close to Father to a point of being his friend within about 2 years. Some feedback from the last broadcast. Somebody said to me, the Bible is valuable. That may be so, but the issue is that it is not the Word of God, and it's not without error. And the problem is that people put so much store in the Bible that they discount all the other hundreds, if not thousands, of other books written by anointed believers through the ages, and particularly in the recent past, that are devalued by this belief. The Bible is no more anointed, no more inspired than any number of books that you can go and buy in your local religious bookshop, be you Christian, Muslim, or Jewish. So just don't put the Bible on a pedestal. That's the point. It's also feedback. Giving thanks for meals blesses those who work to provide the food. That is so. unfortunately, and it's very difficult to say this, but the reality is that Yah is not interested in blessing unbelievers on a generic one-size-fits-all basis, as this prayer dictates. It's telling him how he should interact with a huge number of people who don't believe he exists and don't care for him at all. You're putting something on him which is really quite onerous and quite unpleasant for him. You need to think about what you pray. Don't just tell Father to do things. He will do many things because of your faith, but they're not things he wants to do. So we're looking at seven components of drawing close to the Almighty Creator. It's vital in considering this to understand how corrupt this world is and how much the forces of darkness, the satanic and demonic realm, are in control of the earth. If one is ignorant of this, one cannot hope to really walk in victory in this life. Please go back to the early broadcasts where I explained the contest and the fall of man, etc. Father is not being difficult. The things that I'm teaching about in this program sound onerous and awkward and difficult. It's not because that's the way he is. It's because of the mess the world is in, and that's what's required for us to clean up our acts. The series of programs seeks to address in detail the measures that one can take to overcome the corrupt state of the environment in which we're forced to operate. It's vital that you give the Almighty permission to work in your life and to teach you. Otherwise, you will remain in massive error and be defeated at the end of your life. So we're resuming now with component two of the seven components. We're going to wrap up on prayer tonight. The first few prayers deal with correcting doctrinal errors and associated curses. It's so important to understand you can't just believe what you feel like believing. If you're using the wrong words, if you're using the wrong names, if you're doing wrong things, the forces of darkness will come after you. They'll take you apart, or you will be completely disempowered and ineffective. In order to become close to the Almighty Creator, Yah, the eternally self-existing, one needs to get one's facts straight. And that involves ceasing the use of incorrect words and names, as discussed in previous broadcasts. The use of incorrect, pagan, that is blasphemous names, brings curses and judgment, and particularly from the time that Satan was sent to the pit for 1,000 years in 2003. So it is important to repent of this wrong usage and cut off the curses. One cannot get really close to Father Yah if one uses the wrong names, especially when those names have satanic and demonic connotations. One needs to confess the wrong names and words, repent of using them, turn around, and cease using them, and take on board the correct names and words in order to draw close. One also needs to pray to cut off the resulting curses and get rid of the association demons. When I first became aware of the fact that the Almighty's name was Yahweh, or Yah, the eternally self-existing, and not the Lord, and I said to him, "Is this important?" And he said to me, "James, how would you like it if your family called you by the name of your worst enemy?" And that summed it up to me. That's framed my thinking about the use of names and words ever since. Why would I want my wife to call me by the name of somebody who hates me? It's just not on, folks. Please hear me. These things are so important, and they're actually so small to change if you really get it. So the first example, the Lord, Lord being typically capitalized, is a blasphemous name. The names the Lord and God are both incorrect and blasphemous, and their use flows directly from the incorrect use of the Bible. The name the Lord is an inaccurate representation of the Hebrew phrase Yahweh, or less accurately Yahweh, which means Yah, the eternally self-existing, and which occurs over 6,000 times in the source Hebrew of the so-called Old Testament. The Lord is actually an accurate translation of the Hebrew word Baal, which is retained in the majority of Bible translations. So we see that the Father's name is translated with something that's completely inaccurate, and a name for Satan and the servants of Satan is accurately retained. It's shocking. It's horrible for him. Baal is one of the demonic masterminds that rules on earth, originally reporting directly to Satan before Satan went to the pit. To refer to the Almighty as the Lord is a great insult. It is only through his long-suffering and mercy that his answered prayer is in that name at all. This use of Lord is also confused with the use of Lord in reference to Yeshua Jesus, and is a contributing factor to the confusion regarding the identity of Yeshua, as I've discussed in previous broadcasts. If you are guilty of calling the Almighty the Lord or Lord instead of using his true name, Yah, then pray as follows. Father, I confess that I've called you the Lord, mistakenly believing that this was a valid name for you. I now realize that this is sin and repent and ask you to forgive me. And then you need to make a real effort to stop using that word. God is also a blasphemous name. God is generally a translation of the Hebrew word Elohim, meaning mighty one, or mighty one lowercase, or almighty, depending on context. God is derived from a pagan, that is, a satanic name, and should also be avoided. If you're guilty of the sin of calling the Almighty God, pray, Father, I confess that I've called you God, mistakenly believing that this was a valid name for you. I now realize that this is sin and repent and ask you to forgive me. Folks, I can't stress this enough. It so grievously hurts him. He's so loving. He's so kind. He's so gentle. And we abuse him through using these wrong names. Then the one that we know as Jesus, his correct name is Yahushua, which means Yah is salvation. So another factor that gets in the way of people's relationship with the Almighty Creator is the worship of Jesus and making Jesus equal to the Creator, coupled to the wrong name Jesus instead of Yahushua. The man commonly referred to as Jesus was born to Hebrew parents in Israel, and given a Hebrew name by the Hebrew Mighty One. Jesus is an inaccurate anglicization of Iesus, which is Greek for blessed of Zeus, and which is derived from Zeus, the name of the dominant demonic satanic principality in Greece at the time of Yahushua. Prayerful research reveals that the true man of this name was Yahushua, meaning Yah is salvation, frequently inaccurately translated as Joshua or Yeshua, meaning salvation. Jesus is a blasphemous name. If you're guilty of the sin, pray, Father, I confess that I've called Yeshua Jesus, mistakenly believing that this was a valid name for him. I now realize that this is sin and repent and ask you to forgive me. It's an insult to Yeshua, given all that he did for us. And it's an insult to the Almighty, and it leads to all sorts of confusion. Also important to recognize, Yeshua was only a human prophet, and it is sin to worship him and make him equal to Yah. Yeshua was a human being anointed with the Spirit of the Almighty, which is called Christ. Christ being an English word that's used to represent the anointing with the Spirit of the Almighty. And that is that anointing which enabled Yeshua to heal the sick, raise the dead, and speak on behalf of the Almighty. It's that same anointing which allows anointed believers today to prophesy, to heal for people, raise the dead, and so forth. It was only possible for Yeshua to achieve his purposes by being entirely human. And he was resurrected as a simple legal requirement, because he'd lived a life without sin, and death therefore had no legal claim to him. So touching on a question at the beginning about whether people go to hell and so forth, if you clean up your life as I'm recommending in this program and deal with all your sin, and the only one who can tell you if you've dealt with all your sin is the Father, and that means you pray prayers like judge me severely and correct me harshly, that I may serve you more perfectly, show me the level of my present deception, lead me into all truth by your Spirit, and so forth. If you do that, and you die with no sin, you too will not go to death, you will go straight to heaven. It's that simple. Just live a life without sin. well, it's maybe not quite as simple as I just made it sound out, but if you really take to heart what I'm teaching you here, it's totally possible. Yeshua said we would do greater works than he did, and it is entirely possible for any human being to aspire to do greater works than Yeshua, including living above sin and going directly to heaven. It is gross sin to make Yeshua equal to Yah and break the first commandment. If you are guilty of this sin, pray, Father, I confess that I've made Yeshua equal to you and worshipped him. I now realize that this is sin and repent and ask you to forgive me. Next point. Christ refers to anointed with the Spirit of Yah, not Jesus. People think that Christ is synonymous with Jesus, that Jesus is the Christ. And that if you talk about Christ, you're talking about Jesus. Not so. The English word Christ is a translation of various Greek words, all of which relate to the anointing of the Spirit of the Almighty Creator on a human being. Sometimes this refers to Yeshua, as in the Anointed One, Christ, but it can be applied equally to any other anointed believer. I am legitimately James Christ. If you listening to me are an anointed believer, you are legitimately, whatever your name is, Christ. You are a Christ. You are an anointed one. Christ is in fact a meaningless English word as a consequence of translation errors. There are instances where Christ refers to Yeshua, the anointed spokesman or prophet of Yah, but not always by any stretch of the imagination. It's sin to equate Christ with Jesus or Yahshua as a universal principle, and therefore to equate Yeshua with the Almighty. Remember that Christ is talking about the Spirit of the Almighty. It's not talking about the human being. If you're guilty of this sin, pray, Father, I confess that I've equated Christ with Jesus and made Yeshua equal to you and worshipped him. I now realize that this is sin and repent and ask you to forgive me. I just want to stress that in these prayers that I'm giving you, where I say repent, that means you make a quality decision that what you're doing is wrong, and you turn around and stop doing it. It's no good just saying, oh, goodness gracious, Father, I'm sorry. I don't believe that Jesus is God anymore. And then you carry on talking about him as though he is the Almighty. And all these other things that we've talked about, using the wrong names, etc. You need, if you're going to repent, it must be a heartfelt. We spoke about decisions of quality a few weeks ago. This must be a decision of quality too. Part of growing with Father is to make quality decisions and stick to them. Going in a slightly different direction, but also dealing with errors that are strongly fed by the Bible. There are far more women than men amongst the body of true believers today, about 7 times as many. Praying for a husband may therefore be futile. So this is about prayers that may not get answered or may only get answered after years. In this age, there are 7 times as many believing women as men. The exact ratio varies from community to community, but overall the ratio is around 7 to 1. I've seen congregations of highly anointed believers where the ratio has got as high as 10 to 1, and I've seen congregations of very religious, autocratic, domineering, conventional, traditional churches where the ratio is close to 1 to 1. Spiritually sensitive women don't want to be around congregations that are not spiritually sensitive. They don't want to be around men who are not spiritually sensitive. And one of the things that really grieves Father is the extent to which the women who love him, who are anointed by him, struggle to find husbands and run around and end up frequently with men that they shouldn't be with. The statistic means that most believing women will not find a believing husband. And it's sin to join the temple of the Spirit of Yah to an unbeliever. Therefore, such women are counseled to remain single unless Father clearly leads them to an available believing man. Many of these women are desperately seeking a man and praying for a suitable man. Father advises that he cannot fulfill the vast majority of these prayers and advises a single woman to choose to remain single unless he clearly provides a suitable man. It is also so that as a consequence, many believing women have joined themselves to an unbelieving man who will never come to believe. This is sin in the sight of the Almighty, and he desires such women to divorce and remain single. If you're guilty of this sin, pray, Father, I recognize that I've committed the sin of joining myself to an unbeliever who shows no signs of coming to belief. I confess the sin, repent, and choose to turn around and ask you to guide me in ending this unrighteous union. Exactly the same prayer applies if you're a man and you're joined to a woman who's an unbeliever. Single women who hear this are counseled to choose to remain single and ask Father to be their husband, protector, and provider. It is advisable also to ask Father to remove your desire for sex and your desire for children, or to at least moderate these. You can pray something like, Father, I choose to remain single, and I ask you to be my husband, my protector, and my provider. I ask you to remove my sexual urge and to remove my desire for children. There's more information about this issue of seven times as many women as men in the body of two believers on the website. There's a menu item that deals specifically with this. I touched a moment ago on excessive sex drive. If you're a man and are not sexually satisfied within your covenant union, your marriage, you are entitled to enter into covenant with more women. Note that you have sexually consummated with a virgin or truly divorced woman. You married in the sight of Yah. In practice, in this society, it is improbable that you will manage to maintain relationships with more than one woman successfully and openly. Women simply cannot handle it. Accordingly, it is advisable to ask Father to reduce your sexual urge to that which works in your relationship. Pray something like, Father, I ask you to reduce my sex drive to a level that is appropriate to my circumstances. You can also pray this if you are single and do not intend to marry. If you're a woman and not sexually satisfied, you can pray the same prayer. Note that Father intends us to have extremely enjoyable, no holds barred passionate sex within our covenant relationships. The church is full of lies about enjoying sex. So one of the things that we sit with is that a lot of religious people have a very narrow view of sex and a very puritanical view of sex. It's something that you do with the lights on, with the lights off in the missionary position, no foreplay, anything like that, just boom, bang, thank you, ma'am. That's not the way Father intended it to be. And what happens is that people get into a relationship with somebody, often an unbeliever, that where the sex is really good, and then they leave their marriages. The sex should be really good in your marriage, and it's up to you to learn what's involved in making love passionately, gently, tenderly, in a caring way. It's particularly important for men to not use women, just to love them as the fairer sex, as the ones who are more gentle and more more delicate, and just to love them, and it's so important. I can't stress it enough. Going in a different direction, the full armor of Yah. Another powerful prayer relates to the full armor of Yah. This is metaphoric. Each component of the armor relates to a specific discipline that you need to take on board in order to be able to serve Father better. It is therefore wise to pray regularly to be taught to walk in the full armor of Yah. As you pray, visualize an old-style Roman soldier with his armor, shield, sword, etc., and seek understanding of the metaphor. Pray, Father, I desire to walk in your full armor. Please teach me to wear your full armor and apply it effectively every day. Help me to wear the belt of truth, the sure-footed shoes of the good news of peace, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of emunah, faith, trust, and belief, the mantle of humility, and the sword of the Spirit, which is your commandments. Help me to stand firm and anchor myself with your commandments, and to pray in the Spirit at all times without ceasing. The mantle of humility is not contained in Ephesians, where this prayer basically is based on, but is absolutely critical. Read the books, The Final Quest and The Call by Rick Joyner, to understand just how vital the mantle of humility is. The commandments are effectively the word of Yah. So there's a little known reality that in Hebrew, the Ten Commandments are referred to as the Ten Words. So when we speak of the word of Yah, we're talking about the Ten Commandments, not the whole Bible, the Ten Commandments which are in the Bible. Notice that there's no armor for the back in the event that you advance towards the enemy in pride or turn your back and run in fear. In both cases, unless you have someone else covering your back, you will be taken out. We're intended to work together and cover each other's backs, at the very least at the level of husband and wife. Another metaphor, the mountain. Father uses the metaphor of a mountain to depict what is required to draw close to him. Consider a very high, very steep mountain with limited toeholds and fingerholds. We are required to climb this mountain to draw close to Father, if we're truly committed to serving him and overcoming to the end. Pray. Father, I desire to climb to the top of your set-apart or holy mountain. Show me the toeholds and the fingerholds and help me to anchor myself firmly with your commandments. The toeholds and the fingerholds are truths. As one climbs by learning new truths. Lower down on the mountain, the truths are broad and relatively widely known. As one climbs, the truths are more obscure and less widely known, and it becomes easier to slip. We must keep our eyes on Father, ensure that we adhere to his commandments, so that the forces of darkness cannot dislodge us from our position on the mountain, which is their ongoing objective. They do not want anyone to reach the top of the mountain, which is inherent with the decision to seek a deep personal relationship with Father. Read the book The Final Quest by Rick Joyner for a graphic description of climbing the mountain. It's available on Amazon. Note that there are elements of the account that I view differently, so as with all things, seek truth and not error. This is so important. In order to get closer to Father, we need to seek all truth. We need to let go of error. Wherever it is, whatever it is, sin and error have no place in an anointed, committed believer. There's a whole learning process. You've got the website that you can refer to where you'll find answers to a huge number of questions, things that I had to deal with in my climb up the mountain. Bringing Father joy. Inherent in a decision to seek a deep personal relationship with Father Yah, and particularly a decision to seek to become his friend, it's a necessary requirement that you should seek to bring him joy every day. This is not as difficult as it sounds. Right now, Father is surrounded by indifference and is almost totally ignored by those who claim to be close to him, while those actively seeking to please him are so full of error and confused that their attempts to bring him joy, in fact, bring him nothing but grief. You will bring him joy by deciding to actively serve him, by praying the prayers that are presented here and doing what flows from praying those prayers, by cleansing yourself as set out in the sections to follow, by worshipping as discussed previously, by making the daily sacrifices that are necessary to make the time to serve him day by day, and by doing the tasks that he gives you day by day. Such an important prayer. Father, help me to bring you joy every day. And as I said a moment ago, it's not that difficult. Call him by his right name. That when you start doing that, that will give him joy. Decide to live without sin. Deal with sin in your life. Every time you pray one of the prayers that I've shared with you in the last few minutes, you will bring him joy that you are seeking to get close to him. It's so much easier than it appears, and that religious people would make it sound. You can bring him great joy simply by being his messenger. To look someone deeply in the eye at some level is seeking to serve him and telling them that he desires a much deeper relationship with them, plus anything else that he may give you for them. There's so much confusion and so much error. Most believers don't understand that he's looking for a relationship with them, and they think that they are so far removed that it's not possible. I've said several times on this program, it doesn't matter who you are right now, what your race, what your inheritance, what your level of education, what your financial status, what sort of job you have, how old you are, what your gender. You can choose today to become a friend of the Almighty, and He will welcome you with open arms. You can bring Him joy by getting up and going to work and actively keeping all of His commandments, even when that causes you personal loss. You can bring Him great joy by choosing not to pursue promotion so that you have more time to devote to Him and His work. There are numerous other ways that you can bring Him joy. Pray. Father, I ask you to help me to draw close to you and to bring you joy every day. Remember that the joy of Yah is your strength. So important. He's lonely. He created us to be His friends and is virtually not a friend on the planet. I really urge you, please seriously consider making a decision to draw close to Him and seek to become His friend. You will find it really rewarding. I strongly encourage you to invite Father to be part of your life in every sense. Father desires to be an active part of every facet of your life, provided that if you're engaged in activities which are not pleasing to Him, He expects you to cease those activities, even if it requires that you resign your job and find different work. Remember that Father Yah is uncompromisingly righteous. If you're really serious about this, pray. Father, I desire you to be an active part of every aspect of my life. I commit to align my life with your will and to do your will, and I ask you to take an active role as my partner in every aspect of my life. If you really take this to heart, Father can help you in numerous ways. Just an example of what I said a moment ago. First, choose to seek a relationship with Father. Then clean up your life. It doesn't go the other way around. Don't clean up your life so that you can seek a relationship with Father. Seek a relationship with Father first, and then clean up your life. I'll never forget, I was in London in 1995, and I went to visit a small struggling congregation in the middle of London. And the pastor told me proudly that he'd got his youth together and they were going to go around all the telephone boxes, etc., in their part of London and tear down the advertisements for the prostitutes working in the area. That night I was praying and Father said to me very clearly, go back and tell that man. I didn't ask him to clean up the world. I asked him to save the world. Get them to believe in me and then help them to find a different way of living. Don't take away their livelihood and expect them then to come to me, the one who's taken away their livelihood. So important. Hearing Father Yah. Inherent in the goal of this broadcast to draw close to Father Yah is a requirement that you come to hear Him clearly. If you are to be His friend, you need to be able to engage in clear dialogue with Him, where you hear Him absolutely clearly and can discuss deep and complex matters with Him with ease. It is possible to get to a place where you can hear Him always with crystal clarity, but it'll take you years of training and cleansing to get there. Father is largely constrained to speak to you spirit to spirit, and your spirit communicates with your conscious self via your brain. Your brain is a complex transponder that allows your spirit to control your body. The same transponder is receiving impulses from you, from Yah, and from demons and messengers, both Yah's messengers and Satan's messengers, not to mention noise from the world around you and speech from other human beings, etc. Discerning Yah's still small voice amongst the cacophony of other sounds is an art, and it takes time. This is not to say that you will not hear him from early on in your relationship with him. It is to say that initially you will frequently, most likely, be unsure whether it really was him or another voice, particularly when he says something that you do not think he would say. There are times he speaks loudly so that you're almost certain to hear him, but most of the time his voice is quiet. So important to train yourself to learn to hear him. If you think he's spoken to you and told you to do something, just say, Father, I think that was you. I'm going to go and do it, and I ask you to forgive me if I've missed it and help me to recover if I have. And in my experience, most of the time, if you go out and do the things that you think he's said to you, you'll find that you were on the mark. If you're constantly in doubt and unbelief, you're not going to get very far. In many respects, I cannot explain this to you. It's a journey of discovery that you must follow. Again, there is no recipe. It is up to you to open yourself to hear him clearly. And a significant part of this is to get rid of as many other voices as possible, specifically to get rid of the demonic voices that are speaking to you. Refer to the section on cleansing later in this program for a detailed series of procedures directed at getting rid of demonic voices entirely. What I can tell you with certainty is that regular fasting accompanied with appropriate prayer and worship is vital to getting closer to Father and to hearing him more clearly. Pray, Father, I ask you to lead me to a place of hearing you clearly all the time. Give me utterance that I may pray your will into existence in my life. Lead me places where I can learn to hear you better. Open the ears of my spirit to hear you more clearly. Help me to quieten the other voices and noises that drown out your voice. Help me to learn to discern your voice amongst all the other noises, voices and noises. Help me to come to a place of certainty in terms of hearing you. We then come to cutting off curses. At the time you commit to Father, there may be curses against you. As you advance with Father, there will be new curses against you by servants of Satan. A vital way of responding to this form of attack is to ask Father to return those curses in the magnitude that he deems appropriate. Pray, Father, I ask you to cut off all curses that have been spoken against me for which there's no legal basis. Where there are curses with a legal basis, I ask you to show me what to do in order to cut off that legal basis. With regard to the illegal curses, I ask you in your discretion to return those curses in the magnitude you deem appropriate, such that the persons cursing me will learn not to curse your servants. I ask you also to cut off all human sacrifices that are made against me and to judge those who've made those sacrifices ever so severely. Not a prayer to pray on day one. You need to have done a fair job of cleaning up your life before you pray that prayer, particularly the bit about returning curses. But Father will guide you, and Father will help you. Note that if you've chosen to seek to become a friend or even an overcomer, Satan's servants, witches, warlocks, etc., will start to curse you and offer human sacrifices against you. Your strongest defense against these is to live a life above sin, so that the curses and sacrifices cannot touch you. Note that abortion is a form of human sacrifice, so all that is required to offer a human sacrifice against you is for a witch in an abortion clinic to dedicate the death of that fetus against you. For routine curses, pray, Father, I ask you to cut off all curses operating against me, including curses that have passed down the bloodline and curses that have come into play as a consequence of the errors I've now dealt with. Let's talk momentarily about other prayers. There are many other prayers that are called for to deal with specific circumstances, but those discussed so far deal with some of the most widely occurring issues. I dealt with some others in the program on prayers a month or so ago, and there are other important prayers on the website which I encourage you to pray. See the prayer menu item a few lines from the top of the main menu. While some of the prayers offered in this broadcast only need to be prayed once. Others should be prayed regularly, some of them daily. So to recap, we've looked at correcting doctrinal errors and associated curses and the prayers to pray regarding those. We've looked at recovering from using the Lord, which is a blasphemous name. Same, we've looked at recovering from using God and Jesus. We've looked at recovering from worshipping Yeshua, Jesus. We've looked at recovering from using the word Christ to be synonymous with Yeshua, Jesus. We've looked at the reality that there are far more women than men amongst the body of true believers, and some prayers that you might pray there, and that praying for a husband may be futile. We've looked at what to pray in the event of excessive sex drive. We've looked at what to pray in the event with regard to receiving the full armor of the Almighty. We've talked about the mountain and how to climb it. We've talked about bringing Father joy. We've talked about inviting Father to be part of your life in every sense. We've talked about hearing Father. We've talked about cutting off curses. And we've looked at a bit more in terms of other prayers. There's a wealth of things that you can pray. As I say, some of them you might pray only once or for a short period. Some of them you should pray daily. I have a collection of prayers, probably, I don't know, I haven't counted them, probably 20 or 30 different prayers that we pray on a daily basis, or close to daily basis. You need to keep praying. The forces of darkness are coming against you the whole time. Prayer strengthens your faith, it strengthens your belief, and it constantly holds the forces of darkness at bay. So, there, as I've discussed in previous programs, there are a number of key documents, five in fact, which are now on the web, on the main menu web pages. We've just added them in the last few days. So, the Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you is near the bottom of the menu. To the right of that is seven components in drawing close to the Creator on the next tab. Recommended worship is on the next tab after that. The Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, is the third tab from the left at the top of the menu. Where will you spend eternity? What's required in order to qualify to sit in a high throne for eternity is also near the bottom of the menu, the next tab after recommended worship. So I've taken measures to make it easier for people to find these articles. They're still behind the home menu item as well if you want them there. They're available at www.endtimeissueministries.org on the main menu. That's endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of all the teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of all the teachings broadcast so far are available on the relationshipwithcreator.com website. So that's relationshipwithcreatorradio, all one word, .com. Click on the show menu option in the top right and then on podcasts, and you will be able to download all the previous teachings. Books constituting a compilation of all my writings published since 1998 will shortly be available at the bottom of the menu at the compilation of all writings page. I hope they'll be there tomorrow. I publish regular email articles, so email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or to seek counsel or prayer, or to give me feedback. I look forward to hearing from you. Visit the website and visit the homepage for more information on prayer. So in closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them at the next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. So in wrapping up, I really would encourage you, don't delay, don't procrastinate. Father is there, he's ready, he's willing, he wants to be your friend. Take the first step right now. Just pray something like, Father, James says I can become your friend. I choose to believe that. And I ask you to guide me and give me wisdom and understanding and favor and help me to do all that's necessary to become your friend. Show me what to read. Show me what to pray. Everything that's in this series is on the website. Seven components of drawing close in the menu item towards the bottom of the menu. Download it today. Access it today. You can start drawing close today. And as I say, it's irrespective of race, color, creed, etc. If you do decide to do that, contact me. We can connect on Skype, email, or telephone. I would love to help you draw close to Father. I look forward to hearing from you. Good night. Father, I